Welcome to New Hope Ministries. New Hope Ministries is a part of New Hope Community Church in Mount Pleasant, Pennsylvania. Please visit our website at newhopecommunityfmchurch.org. Now here's Pastor Michael with this week's message in Matthew, Hava Nagila. The title of the message today is Hava Nagila, Hava Nagila, Hava Nagila. The word means, let us rejoice. It's an Israeli folk song traditionally sung at Jewish celebrations. It is perhaps the first modern Israeli folk song in the Hebrew language that has become a staple of band performers at Jewish weddings and bar and bat mitzvah celebrations, which if you've ever been to a Jewish wedding, they are amazing, or bat mitzvahs or bar mitzvahs. Weddings today are different than the weddings of the Bible times. The average wedding today in 2017 costs an average of around $27,000. Wedding rings were worn on your finger because originally it was thought there was a main vein in your finger that led directly to your heart. All the women at one time wore the same dress to confuse evil spirits as to who the bride was, and white dresses were not worn until 1840. The wedding cake came from a Roman tradition that the groom would break a loaf of bread over the bride's head for good luck. Aren't you glad that that's not happening anymore? Whoa, congratulations! Let me grab this big loaf of bread and break it over my wife's head. There have been all different types of weddings, science fiction weddings, weddings that were held skydiving. I had a woman I dated for a short time, and she wanted to get married on Mischief Night, October 30th, the day before Halloween. And I even read an article this week that people were getting married on the Phantom at Kennywood. Now, if you're following along in your Bibles, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 18 today. Really good verses here. And we're going to learn a lot about marriage. We're going to learn a lot about people as we read these verses today. It says in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. The marriage was different then as it would be today. The marriage went like this. The man and the woman's parents signed a contract for the wedding to take place. The woman would then be pledged to the man, but they did not marry right away. The bridegroom would leave for a year, and while he was away, he would build a place for them onto his father's house. Then after the year, the bridegroom would come, and he would blow a trumpet, and then he would call for his bride by saying, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." Then there would be a wedding feast that would last 7 days. Yes, the weddings of today are expensive, but imagine spending that kind of money for 7 days. So if you have an average wedding of $27,000, for a 7-day wedding, it would run you around $190,000. Then on the 7th day, the bride would be presented to the people. Now this is beautiful, because if you've ever read the Bible, you'll understand that Christ portrays his coming and his return from a Jewish marriage perspective, because marriage is considered to be the most sacred act that we can do with someone. though marriage has been made a lot looser in our time, sadly. But this is neat. The Holy Spirit, when he saves us, the language says, in the New Testament, it talks about cargo arriving to a destination and how there was a seal on that cargo and you could not break that seal. But then it's a more sacred term. And the sacred term is what we would do with someone is we would give them an engagement ring. So God is saying the Holy Spirit is a promise to us that when he seals us, it's like a bride and a groom getting married. It is God's lifelong commitment to us as he is building onto the Father's house, it says in John 14, 1 through 3, and he will one day come to get us. Jesus went away, and it says when he did, he is building a place for us onto his Father's house. Then there will be a trumpet that is blown. There'll be a wedding feast. We will be away from the earth for 7 years as God pours his wrath on the earth in Revelation, as he is merciful and wanting all to come to repentance during the tribulation. Jesus will call us before the 7 years with a trumpet, the Bible says. The bridegroom cometh and take us away to be with him in the place that he has prepared for us. Then on the 7th year of the great tribulation, it says in Revelation chapter 19 that the bride, us, will come down on white horses dressed in fine linen with Jesus and will be presented to the earth by the bridegroom Christ as he establishes his kingdom. Now for those 7 years, would Jesus beat on and take out his wrath on his bride? Does that mean we can abuse our spouses? God is pouring out his wrath during the great tribulation for 7 years. That would mean, as I would treat Christ the way he treats the church, that it would give me the right to pummel on my wife daily with my wrath. No! The Bible says we as flawed humans are to love our wives as Christ loves his wife, the church. So we're called to love them as best as we can, and when we can't, to rely on God's Spirit to help us to love them, and vice versa for your husbands. That's why I believe Jesus will call us away for that time in a pre-tribulation rapture. Because Jesus took the full wrath of God on the cross. And why would we have to endure his wrath if he says that we don't have to and he already endured it for us? Now another reason the bridegroom was away was if the bride were to so happen to get pregnant while the groom was away. Well, this has taken place now with Joseph and Mary, verse 19. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Joseph, the word says here, I love this word. This is what I strive to be in my life. Tzaddik. This means God looked at him as a righteous man. He is a man with an issue because as a righteous man, he's allowed to follow the law. And it states that such women who cheat before the ceremony are to be stoned to death. Men, listen. We can learn from Joseph. Joseph had a huge decision to make, which could take his tzaddik status and make it bad. He either needs to be righteous and follow the law, or needs to break the law and choose to save Mary, his betrothed. He chose to discredit himself, and he chose to divorce her quietly so she would not get stoned. The cool part is the righteous man became wrong by the law when he did what he did, but in God's eyes, he did what was right. Joseph was a great man who could have said, "My reputation is more important with people, and we don't know if people were pushing him to do this," and just have her stoned. We just know the decision he made, and it was a good decision. He stood by his wife. We should learn to stand by our spouses. Verse 20. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." Joseph is in love with her. He's known her and lived around her. He watched her grow, and she was incredibly great. And she was a flower in the midst of weeds. Nazareth had around 20,000 people at the time. Roman soldiers loved to grace that place because prostitutes were there. And it was written in history that Nazareth was a wicked place to find, and to find a righteous man and to find a godly woman there was a rare find in this area. Mary is versed in scripture, and she was picked by God to be the mother of the Messiah. Now Joseph is troubled immensely in thinking about these things. The angel also calls him Joseph, son of David. The angel reminds him that if Israel was not under Roman rule, that Joseph would be the next in line for the throne. So even though Joseph is not his biological son, he is the dad and the heir, as Jesus is the heir to the throne of David. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15 is the first prophecy concerning Jesus the Messiah, and also a difficult scripture for Jewish rabbis to understand and explain. The seed always comes from the man in Jewish writings. So they see that and have difficulty because it is telling us the seed will come specifically from a woman and a virgin birth. Later, conception is of the Holy Ghost, and Mary has a virgin birth, which is called Jesus. The seed is always the seed of the man throughout the Bible, and this is the only place it is in the word that says the seed of the woman. Verse 21. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Joshua, Jehoshua, meaning salvation. Moses changed it to Yahoshua, which means Yahweh is our salvation, Yeshua, and given Joshua. And interestingly, God is not really named through the Old Testament. We say Yahovah, which is an expanding of the YHVH. That is what the Jews had said, and because they could not pronounce the I am that I am, the becoming one. Beautifully through the Old Testament, he compounds his name to different circumstances that are taking place with the Israelites to show them that he can be whatever they need him to be in any circumstance. Abraham took Isaac to sacrifice, and God stopped him and provided the sacrifice, and he became Yahweh Jireh, our provider. The Jews came out, and God says he won't put diseases on them, and he did to the Egyptians. That's Yahweh Rapha. He gave them victory over the Amalekites in Exodus 17, that he is the banner, Yahweh Nissi. Gideon had appeared to the Lord in Judges 6, and Gideon is concerned over the circumstances. So peace, God wants him to have peace, Yahweh Shalom, he's called there. Psalm 23, everyone knows this, the Lord is my shepherd, Yahweh Ra. Jeremiah 25-26, the Lord will be our righteousness. Yahweh Sitkenu. Ezekiel 48, he will be present with us. He's going to be our ever-present help in time of trouble. Yahweh Shammah. God can be whatever you need him to be, to help you at the present time. Your provider, your healer, your banner, your peace, your shepherd, your righteousness, your presence one, and of course the last one, the eighth one, Yeshua, Jesus, Yeshua. The Lord is our salvation and saves his people from their sins. You can't be one of his people unless you're saved from your sins, because that is his very name. Verse 22, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. Matthew always points to the scriptures. Emmanuel interprets what he is to us. You see, Donald Trump is his name, but President of the United States is what he does. The Bible is clear about the virgin birth. You don't have to believe it, but don't tell me it's not in the scriptures. And there are pastors who are teaching Mary was not a virgin, and they are wrong. Verse 23, the virgin will conceive and gave birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Parthenos, a woman who has never been with a man, that says, an untouched woman. The Septuagint translators, 200 years before the birth of Christ, translated the Old Testament from Hebrew to Greek. 72 Greek scholars in Alexandria translated it, and when they did, in Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and call him Emmanuel. You are the nation, plural, not Ahaz, who was the king at the time. When the 72 Hebrew scholars translated this Parthenos, which can only be a virgin, and before the bias of the virgin birth, they honestly translated it. Hebrew, it means Alma, which is a woman ready to be married because she's a virgin. When you go to your college, you belong to your alma mater. It's the virgin mother, the school. Alma is the Hebrew for virgin. Parthenon in the Greek was a temple where they worshipped Athena, who was the virgin goddess. Verse 24 through 25. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him. He took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. He had no sexual relationship with her until. So Mary did have children after Jesus. And it says that in the scriptures. Mary and Joseph had other children, and they're talked about in the Word of God. Psalm 69, verses 7 through 9 says, for I endure scorn for your sake, and shame covers my face. I am a foreigner to my own family, a stranger to my own mother's children, for zeal for your house consumes me, and the insults of those who insult you fall on me. Isn't it beautiful how Jesus sees us? How he stages his whole coming forth and his return as a Jewish wedding and a marriage. There is much that we can learn from these verses today. First, aren't we thankful God says in his word that he hates divorce? Because he places that ring on us. He never looks at us and says, man, I made a huge mistake picking this person to be connected with in heaven. I need to divorce them because I don't want them to live with me for all of eternity. I know that I'm thankful for having a God who sticks by us. Like last week's message says, no matter how despicable we may think we are, and he shows us throughout Scripture, he loves us where we are at, he accepts us as his own, and he calls us his bride, and he never goes back on that. Secondly, we can learn a lot from Joseph, because at times we can get so caught up in our own righteousness and our own selfishness and our own reputations, which Joseph was a very good man. He was a righteous man. He was a tzaddik. But sometimes in our own lives, we can neglect our own wife's needs. I hope I can be a better husband. And when my wife is in a circumstance, of course not a virgin birth, but where something is happening to place my righteousness aside and love and accept my wife because she is beautiful. She has a beautiful soul. I hope we can all stand by our spouses, that we as husbands can be more tzaddik in our marriages, whether we are the wife or the husband, that we can be more righteous in those situations where people are coming against our spouses. Third, no matter what you may think of Mary, she was told by God she was blessed among women. She was given a great task which brought ridicule, stares and glares, confusion in her spouse. She was promised to, and of course, embarrassment. All those things. Because she did love God. She did them because she loved God. That in life, marriage, and in our relationships, what is most important? She chose to follow God and to obey Him. Which there will be times where people will tell you not to follow God's plan for your life and to follow what you want to follow. Mary was blessed not because she had a child, but because she stood strong in the task of having a child that was given to her of God's Spirit. That when God blesses us with such things in life, we should be obedient and also cherish those things above whatever anyone else may think. Hava Nagila. Let us rejoice. Let us rejoice in what God has given us. And remember, it is from God, because we are blessed. And let no man or woman be able to put what God has given us asunder. May the Lord protect us in our relationship with Him, in our marriages with our spouses, with our families and friends and others, and may we rejoice in love. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to learn more about your great love for us. That you have such a great love, like a marriage, Father, like a marriage supper. That, Lord, you care about us, that you love us, that you have your hand upon us. Lord, help us to remember the commitment that you've made to us, so that we may love you freely and fully in our relationships with you. Help us, Lord, to be more like Joseph, that when our spouses go through difficult times, that we can be supportive to our husbands, to our wives, to our spouses. Lord, help us when you give us things that you cherish, like Mary, that we can stand in you no matter what comes against us. That, Father, your great love can be what we need throughout this whole circumstance, that we can realize that we can lean on that. And we thank you for that, and we give you praise and thanks today in Jesus' name. Amen. If you enjoyed this message today, then please visit our website at www.newhopecommunityfmchurch.org. Click on the social media button and it'll take you to our page where you can connect with our Facebook, you can connect with our podcast, you can connect with our blog posts that we post every week. And thank you very much for listening today, and don't forget, there's always new hope in Jesus. God bless you.